Hello, All Saints Ripley, you wonderful people, and everyone else who may have chosen to join us today. My name is Reverend Marion Brooks, part of the team of All Saints Church here in Ripley in Derbyshire. We hope that you're managing to keep safe and well, and we want you to be assured of our prayers for you during this really difficult time. The Bible passage that I've chosen today is Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 14 to 18. If you'd like to look it up for later, we could read it together. I'm sure that by now we're all trying to find our balance, as our whole way of living has suddenly changed in order to save lives and stop the advance of this coronavirus. The atmosphere is changing. We find ourselves on a roller coaster of feelings trying to cope with this new landscape to our lives. And to many, this is not much different to the normal routines and their lives anyway. I guess many of us are wondering how we shall cope and even who we are outside of our normal routines and working lives. As a church, we've spent the last few weeks focusing on prayer, using pray as an acrostic suggested by Pete Gregg in his book, How to Pray. And that's been our guide through the series. We've been encouraging each other to lock into a rhythm of prayer each day, to pause, rejoice, ask, and yield as we deepen our relationship with Jesus. And I can't help wondering how we're all getting on, really. It seems that this is a good moment for God's people to kneel and pray on behalf of those in our communities and of the nations too. It's true that our church buildings have now closed to help stop the spread of this pandemic, but the Church of God hasn't closed. It just looks different now. We're now a scattered church amongst our communities, full of people who need our love and prayers. But we're still part of God's family, connected through our love for God and for each other in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this week's talk was to be a theme of spiritual warfare. Joyce made several weeks ago now, and who would have expected us to be in this place back then? I want to share two things with you, still on the subject of prayer, because as we all begin to feel the weight of this crisis, we have to ask, how do we live? How do we listen to the voices that are so many and are calling for our attention all the time? And who can we trust? What can we do so that we can become light and salt and peace in our communities, bringing in God's kingdom of love and power? I'll read the Bible passage, which was written by the Apostle Paul, who was himself at the time of writing in isolation in prison at Ephesus. So here we go. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all God's people. Paul was imprisoned for his faith, and he used this image of the Roman soldier guarding him to explain how to live in times of trouble and uncertainty as people of faith. He turns us to prayer from fear to faith. In these uncertain times, we need to be discerning with regard to what we watch, read and listen to. Philippians warns us to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, lest we find that the rock of Jesus, where we once stood, is gradually turning to sand, and hope is disappearing like the morning mist. And this is the spiritual battle we're in at the moment. We need to refuse to let go of everything we know about our God, his love, his promises, his power to sustain us, to provide for us, to defend us, guarding our hearts and minds until this storm has passed. And this is some storm, isn't it? Paul tells us, saying, look, this is the way to fight the spiritual battles in this world against an enemy that wants to convince us that God can't help and prayer isn't enough. Paul is saying, stand firm and don't give ground to disbelief at the very time when faith can sustain us the most. And our prayers will make a difference and become a blessing to family and friends, communities and our nation. The first point I want to make is about being real with God and with each other. It's biblical and saves us from pretending that all is okay and I'm coping with this because of my faith in Jesus. Well, yes, we do have faith, but we're still affected by this worldwide pandemic. And it's okay to say I'm not okay at the moment. It's called lamenting. And the book of Psalms and Lamentations is really helpful here. Reverend Charlie Cleverly, in his book, The Discipline of Intimacy, says this about being free to lament, to cry out to God. He writes, Jeremiah was taken down to Egypt and his Lamentations book was written there, giving language to sadness and fear. I believe that the capacity to give prayer and song to lament is a missing jewel of the church today. Our neighbour's wife is in hospital at the moment in palliative care, and 2 days ago her husband was told he couldn't visit her anymore. Our other neighbour lost her daughter a month ago and can't be with family and friends to grieve together. It's not all okay, is it? Charlie continues, Lamentations was born out of real trouble, disappointment, disaster and death. And in life there will be real trouble, disappointment, disaster and death. And for many, there will be a winter, night, desert and deep waters of death or depression poured over our lives at different times and intensities. To learn to embrace this language of lament isn't about depression. It's about allowing ourselves to come to our wonderful God in absolute honesty, trusting that he understands. As Christians, we can really give ourselves a hard time because we feel that we should be able to carry on praising God and rejoicing all the time. But sometimes life is just too hard. Ever since my youngest sister died at the age of 31, I've been learning about lament. And it seems an old-fashioned word, a bit out of kilter with our culture. But I believe that it's a healthy, healing thing that, like the Psalms, leads us back into the presence of God, into his arms of love. Rachel has written about this at length through her own experience. And I recommend that you read it on our church website, All Saints Church, Ripley. Jesus was himself a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Hebrews tells us that during Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard. Jesus understands. He sees us. He hears us, and he will answer us. And if you find that you're feeling really low for longer periods, can I suggest to you that you get in touch with any of us on the team? In confidence, of course, and we can talk. You don't have to be on your own. And secondly, let your home become a place of prayer. As Christians, we're a called people to stand in the gap between heaven and earth to pray in God's kingdom rule. And this is an opportunity to pray, to plead with God for deliverance from this virus. The thing is, how do we do that? Charlie Cleverly writes, if every Christian home became a hearth with prayer burning, if every home became a house of prayer for all the nation and for all nations, if across the country fires were lit wherever we looked, who knows what we may see as God hears the cry of his people day and night. Hebrews tells us not to give up meeting together, and we can meet together in prayer, joining with others across the world. Let's endeavour to make our homes in Ripley a place where the fire of prayer burns to bring hope and light and peace to our communities. Prayer changes things, and God listens to the cry of his people when a nation turns back to him in prayer. So what to do as we consider how to stand in faith that will drive out fear in the weeks ahead? Well, I suggest you hang out with the best people online, on Facebook, Messenger and WhatsApp, being intentional not to be drawn into the tunnels of darkness and despair and negativity. Read the Bible. Get a pencil, circle the things that where you think God is speaking to you and just meditate on those things. Begin a journal if that helps. Later we can share all the good things that God has been doing in your lives. As Christians, we can pause and pray and rejoice in our awesome, wonderful God. And we can ask audacious, big, brave prayers. Today, we spent time with Paul, who experienced isolation and brutality, battled with fear and pain, yet left with us a pathway, a way from fear to faith in his writings and testimonies of how Jesus sustained him and how Jesus enabled him to hold fast to God in the traumas of life. We worship this same God. And as we ask, let's intercede on behalf of our communities to ask God to bless them and to meet their needs. Let's ask God to intervene to lift this pandemic from the nations. Let's ask on behalf of those who will die tonight without loved ones to hold their hands and invite Jesus to visit them in his love, in his power, replacing fear with faith and ministering peace to their souls. Let's ask for protection and strength for all those working to serve this nation of ours. And let's ask that God will help us all to turn to him, our Creator and Lord, who made us to be in relationship with him and each other, and that as we do, we'll find faith rising in this land, his love surprise surrounding us and sustaining us for all that lies ahead. And then yield, trusting God for all that is to come, because he alone is holy, he alone is Lord. He promises never to leave us, never to abandon us. His love is unconditional, his forgiveness full and free to all those who turn to him. I want to share with you one verse from Zephaniah chapter 3. It blessed Jim and me in a time of our lives when it was truly difficult. So here it is. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. So let's pray together. God of the one and God of the whole, be with those who are working from home today and those whose work keeps them from home. Be with those who won't go beyond the front porch and those who stay on the front line. Be with those who must choose between doing a job they know they can do and being the parent only they can be. May we each in our own private worries hear your universal call to come and to lay down heavy burdens and find a welcome rest in you. And then, with our burdens lightened, may we help to hold the whole. In Jesus' name, amen. And now a blessing to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us, who out of defeat brings new hope and a new future, fill you with his new life, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you and me always. Amen.